Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's July 10th. I'm Sarith Hawk. When it comes to fruits, there's no better place to grow them than in the Central Valley.
The heat and then the cool evenings are really ideal for growing stone fruit, grapes. It really helps build sugars.
But small farmers can often struggle to keep their bounty local. Closer look at the challenges for some family farms trying to stay in business. That's coming up in just a moment, but first, these news headlines. A tax measure to fund roads and transit in Fresno County has qualified for the November ballot. The county's registrar of voters confirmed the measure has enough signatures to land on the ballot. The measure almost didn't get the required number of signatures, and it also faced a competing tax measure pushed by a separate county coalition. County supervisors will now review the measure before officially placing it on the ballot, according to our news partner Fresnoland. The Central Valley has a new agricultural tool. The AgTech Initiative F3 and their program F3 Innovate have launched a so-called supercomputer at Fresno State. The goal is to use AI to solve everyday farming problems. From our news partner, the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, Esther Quintanilla reports.
The Supercomputing Center will work on problems like drought management and tracking weather. F3 Innovate is heading up the project. They'd like to see the Valley keep up with tech changes. Priscilla Kepke is CEO.
Agriculture is facing enormous pressures, and meeting those challenges is going to require faster insights, better tools, stronger partnerships, and the ability to innovate at the speed of precise minute-by-minute decisions.
Drew Kettleson agrees. He runs a stone fruit farm in Selma, just south of Fresno. One way he's been using the supercomputer is to track the performance of all his vehicles.
You know, it took me 3 minutes to build a whole fleet management program. It was something that was really tangible and hands-on that just really changed my operation overnight.
Out in the West Valley, Joe Dolboski runs a melon ranch. He's cautiously optimistic about new advancements in farming.
It's going to be a long time before we're able to get technology to replace human hands. But we need to find ways to make it easier for these human hands to do what they have to do.
Especially with unpredictable weather patterns. That's one problem the supercomputer team plans to tackle. With the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, I'm Esther Quintanilla.
F3 is a financial supporter of KVPR. The Farmersville City Council plans to show its support for a bipartisan bill aiming to help immigrant workers. The bill, known as the Dignity Act, is supported by Democrats and Republicans in Congress. It would provide a legal status for long-term undocumented immigrants. Alma Beltran is the mayor of Parlier and plans to attend the meeting. She was among the first rural mayors in California to endorse the bill.
I feel that it's very needed to show that we need something to change.
She says it's important to represent the people who work in the rural communities.
Our country was made by immigrants, so why wouldn't we support our immigrants?
The Nisei Farmers League also plans to attend. The group advocates for Valley farmers.
Your news day doesn't have to end after Central Valley Daily. Check out KVPR's broadcast, where you'll get top headlines, in-depth analysis, and some fun pop culture coverage. Stream KVPR online at kvpr.org or through your smart speaker.
And now to our main story. Summer fruit season is in full swing in the San Joaquin Valley, and right now, stone fruits are having their day in the sun. But with rising costs putting the squeeze on the ag industry, small valley farmers are trying to keep up. They hope events like the Stone Fruit Jubilee in Kingsburg last month will help to drum up more local demand. The crowd is just beginning to arrive at Kingsburg Historical Park one afternoon in late June. The band is warming up. The main attraction isn't on the stage, though. people are clustered around a handful of booths stacked with white and yellow peaches, plums, pluots, and nectarines. D.E. Bolt Family Farms, Olson Family Farms, Valleywide Organic Farms. The 18th annual Stone Fruit Jubilee has brought the growers out of the fields and into the booths. Fanned out on their tables are plates of sliced up stone fruit varieties.
You got the last one. That's the Summer Grand Yellow Nectarine. That's a really nice high acid yellow nectarine.
Bryce Lowen is a fourth generation farmer at his family's Blossom Bluff Orchards in Parlier.
Yeah, this is the white peach that we have today, the Glacier. Okay. Feel free, man.
A man pushing a stroller tastes the peach and gives a nod and a smile. The stand next to his booth is filled with boxes of his farm's white and yellow peaches and nectarines. Visitors buy a paper bag and fit in as much fruit as they can hold.
I'd say we're just about at peak season for stone fruit, yes, yeah.
Lowen has a tip on how to pick them out.
If you're picking out a single piece of fruit, looking for a nice solid color at the stem end is important. If it's green around the stem end, then that's not going to be quite as tree ripe as something that's either yellow or white, depending on the variety.
And if you're looking for sweetness.
With nectarines, I always look for lots of speckles on the skin. Those are what my grandpa called sugar marks. So yeah, they tend to be a little more speckly or a little rusty even, like a little rough.
Lowen's family has been farming in Parlier since 1931. He's now raising his kids to be the fifth generation of farmers. It's becoming less common these days to find small family farms operating.
Labor can be difficult, water, rising costs of everything. That's probably the biggest thing.
That's Magnus Olsen of Olsen Family Farms.
Yeah, our family came from Sweden in 1888 and settled here in Kingsburg in 1889 and started farming right away.
Farming since 1889. In the 137 years since Olsen's family has been in Kingsburg, he's expanded his business to cattle production and even a brewery. But it always comes back to his farming roots.
That one, actually, my dad planted in 1970, and we're still picking off the same trees.
This is Maya Solano McDaniel's first time at the Jubilee.
What a wonderful afternoon, evening.
She grew up in Fresno, but has had a taste of the valley's vine-ripened stone fruit her whole life. She says she can tell the difference between the fruit she gets at the grocery store and the ones from these family farms.
I don't know, it tastes like sun, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's just that freshness that's different.
The valley is a prime location to grow stone fruit. Nick Bolt started his own farm in Reedley 8 years ago. It's just down the way from D.E. Bolt Family Farms in Parlier, land his mother's family has had for over 100 years.
The heat and then the cool evenings are really ideal for growing stone fruit, grapes. It really helps build sugars.
Organizers of this event want to see more of this interaction between small farmers and customers. Anna Larson helps to do that as the project manager of Central to the Valley.
Marketing tasks kind of get bumped down the line because there's something you could perhaps put off. But if you want to grow your business and you want to move your product and get a better price for it, you do need to do some marketing.
The group created a guide that lists local farms, farmers markets, restaurants, and retailers that offer valley-grown produce. Nick Bolt has a little bit of everything here.
If you want something real sweet, I've got Sugar Lips, and if you want a traditional yellow peach, I have Summer Flame.
And since you can't taste the fruit at this event...
It's wild. Yeah, you just gotta try it. Sorry if you're on the radio, you can't try it, but...
At least you can find out where to get them. The event and Central to the Valley was supported by F3's local initiative. F3 is a financial supporter of KVPR. And while I did enjoy exploring the Stone Fruit Jubilee in Kingsburg, I also wanted to learn more about some of the specific challenges that many local farmers face here in the valley. To do that, I spoke with Pahua Lee. She's a farm partnerships coordinator with the Agricultural Platform Collective. And her job is to help connect Southeast Asian farmers in the valley to local resources.
I am a Hmong-speaking representative, so majority of my farmers are Hmong-speaking. But, I mean, we have farmers that are, of course, Laotian, Mien, and, you know, other races as well that we welcome, definitely. And what I do is just provide support on any help they may need, whether it be technical assistance or you know, market access and, you know, just getting them ready with education about business and, you know, finding support that they may need to help better their business.
Yeah. So, you know, you and I first connected actually at an event at the Central California Food Bank when Senator Adam Schiff came to visit. And I was struck by what you talked about that made me realize that, you know, I knew that farming was not an easy thing, but that it's actually hard for a lot of farmers to survive. Why is that?
So farming is all that a lot of these farmers know what to, you know, how to do, and they're great at it. That's why they stick with it, even though they know that it's a bit of a struggle with, you know, there's going to be great times where they do make some money, and then they're going to have to expect like, okay, it's not going to always be consistent. The struggles they have is it's not consistent. The markets aren't consistent. They also not only gamble with the market, they gamble with the weather.
When you're talking about market, that means mm-hmm. when they're growing something, it doesn't just mean that they can just sell it here, right? A lot of it, in fact, leaves the valley. Can you explain that?
Yes. So I speak to a lot of our farmers, and one of the first things that I ask upon meeting them is, where do you currently sell? I rarely have any farmers that say they sell locally. Majority of them sells to either farmers markets that are in San Francisco or in the Los Angeles area. I want to say I have probably 2 to 3 farmers that has a farmer stand on their farm here in the Central Valley. So they kind of just like whatever they have for the season, they'll pick and just put on their farmer stand. And there will be days where they probably just sell nothing at all. Because, you know, most of the customers here would rather go to their local grocery store. Because the farmer stands here, I mean, everyone works and they kind of just like drive right past them if they need to go home. They rather go and just pick up a whole bunch of other things that they need in one spot. So the farmer stands here, I would say they can be successful only if it carries like a crop that's a seasonal crop, like strawberries. But other crops, I want to say they will struggle. They will struggle trying to sell their things. But yeah, majority of our farmers, they travel to San Francisco or Los Angeles, San Jose, all for their farmers markets.
So when you were at the food bank, you and I talked a little bit about this program that actually you worked with called the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. And that actually helped keep some of that produce here locally. Can you tell us a little bit more about how it worked?
Definitely. The LFPA funding, it's a program that funds to, you know, a lot of these organizations that help purchase from our local farmers and also give back to the community. So I did work with the Central California Food Bank because they were able to get a good amount of funding, and they reached out to me and my colleague, Rispa Billard. She also is a farm partnerships coordinator. So she works with the Hispanic farmers, and, you know, I work with the Southeast Asian farmers. They reached out to us and say, hey, we would like to connect directly to the farmers and have them sell their products to us, and we give back to the community in need. So that's where we came in, partner up with them and brought in our farmers. It was as easy as like just finding out like what our farmers currently have, giving it to the food bank, that list, and they just like, okay, let's keep it moving. And that really, really helped the farmers like so much, because it eliminated them from having to travel on a weekly basis to their farmers market.
But unfortunately, that program did end in June. So what happens now?
As of right now, I mean, we have so many organizations, and I can't speak on their behalf. I don't have an actual list specifically of what organizations are available, but we are all working towards trying to just continue it without, of course, the help of the LFPA funding. So we're all just kind of donating, trying to kind of meet up and match what we had last year.
So what are some long-term goals that you're working on to help sustain local farmers moving forward?
we want to continue to bridge that gap between market access and land access. So we want to be able to find that for our farmers and to just kind of continue to hopefully get to where it's going to be a consistent market and it won't be a struggle to just wait to see when, you know, the program is done again, like the LFPA. So I would say the most simplest thing is we want them to have a contractor buyer and we want our farmers to just know exactly what to plant, how much to plant, and where they're going to, their products will be sold to. We're trying to reduce the amount of, you know, food waste. We want our farmers to be successful. We want their businesses to be successful. And we want them to know and remember that they are valuable to the community. So our long-term goal definitely, I would say, would be the market access issue. We want our farmers to, you know, remember and know their worth.
That was my conversation with Pahua Lee, Farm Partnerships Coordinator with the Agricultural Platform Collective. You can learn more about the collective's work at weareapc.org. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.